Hello, it's here. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. Training our soldiers is at the core of how our U.S. Army prepares for its mission to fight and win our nation's wars. Fort Jackson is the largest and most active initial entry training center in the U.S. Army. With approximately 35,000 potential soldiers attending basic combat training and 8,000 soldiers going through advanced individual training each year. Today, we'll talk with the command team at Fort Jackson to find out just how they are preparing the most lethal army of tomorrow. So please, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and their families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military family and community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week if you listen to the show. We love them too. Today we're talking with the command team at U.S. Army Training Center at Fort Jackson. And I'm excited. In fact, I'm pumped up here right now to welcome the commanding general, Major General Daryl O. Hood, and the command sergeant major, CSM William A. Schoaf. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, SMA. We're honored to be here and really appreciate you giving us an opportunity to spend some time with you.
All right. Well, anytime I get to talk to soldiers, I'm just excited and motivated and pumped up. So let's just have a lot of fun. Hey, I'm going to ask you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself. And, sir, we're going to start with you. Tell the audience just a little bit about all the positive things that you're doing, sir.
Well, SMA, the great thing is we're executing our mission. We're able to get soldiers to graduate from basic combat training and then get to their advanced individual training and really help the Army when it comes to readiness. I like to use the acronym RED, R-E-D. It's about generating readiness so that those soldiers have the basic skills necessary so that they can partner up, join other teammates, and become effective lethal squads, platoons, so that once they arrive to their first unit of assignment, especially with Forces Command, they're ready to contribute to the greater mission. The E is about excellence. We strive for excellence, whether you're a drill sergeant candidate going through the Drill Sergeant Academy, or if you're a leader attending a pre-command course sponsored and executed by the Leader Training Brigade, or if you happen to fall in the finance or the adjutant general corps or the chaplains, because we also train them here in addition to just basic combat training. We're striving for excellence. No one's looking for the minimum. We're saying, hey, what does it take to score the highest? And it's great for competition, but it also establishes a habit that I think is a healthy habit, because you got to have resiliency and the right mindset to do what we do as soldiers, really. Our skill craft, our ability to engage if and when that time comes, that's what we're trying to do, is make sure fundamentally these trainees and then eventually soldiers can move out. And then the D. We want Fort Jackson to be a destination of choice. We want you to come here and come back. Hopefully, if you had a chance to attend and complete basic training or any other training that we conduct here, we want you to come back and be a cadre member. Be a permanent party. Help shape, help develop, help train. And then those that decide, hey, it's time to turn the page and have a new chapter in life. We have a great relationship with the City of Columbia, Midlands, and really all the other surrounding townships and so forth. So we believe the acronym RED, again, readiness, excellence, and destination of choice, is something that we strive for.
Yeah. Hey, sir, you're doing a lot of work out there. I want you to do me a favor, though. I want you to tell me about you. I want you to tell me about you and your family. I want to know a little bit about you, because soldiers are just like anybody else. They want to tell about all the great things they're doing. But I want to tell me just a little bit about you. Married? Do you have any children? Tell me a little bit about that stuff, too.
Absolutely. My wife and I, we have four adult children, and we have three grandchildren. Yeah. So you can imagine.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You can imagine when I'm able to spend time with them, that indeed is precious time. You know, we talk about work-life balance, and really for my household, it's more about trade-off, trade space, knowing what are the absolute key events that I can line up with my calendar. And my spouse, being a senior spouse advisor, she's phenomenal. She's the glue that held our family together, whether it was on a deployment to Bosnia or the numerous times that I went to Afghanistan. I love the Army. I'm passionate about the Army. It's about people. At this stage, it really is about executive coaching. And so I just enjoy seeing people accomplish their goals, their dreams come through, whether that's a new recruit, a civilian that raised his or her hand, said that they wanted to join our Army. And it might be a more seasoned soldier. It's Command Sergeant Major Schaff and myself seeing their talent, encouraging them, inspiring them. And so I just believe in authentic leadership. And so my spouse can tell you the same thing. I get pumped up just like you, any opportunity I have to be around our youth, whether that's volunteering in the local community, the junior ROTC programs. We have a number of opportunities. I try to be involved with that. So I like action. I don't like sitting still no longer than I have to. Meetings is not where I really want to be. I'm a hands-on kind of leader, high energy. So if you got a specific question, I'm happy to take it. Other than that, I think my wife, she's 29 years, and she's definitely allowed me to focus on what's important, my goals with being a professional in our Army profession, that is. But I'll stop there and see if you had any other questions, SMA.
No, I was going to tell you, you're a rookie, because I've been married about 55 years now, so I know who's in charge of your life. Hey, Sergeant Major, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself. Talk about your family a little bit. I know all the good things you're doing at Fort Jackson, but tell me a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, SMA. One, I want to say what an honor it is to finally, even though it's virtually, get to meet you. You've always been a big hero to me. And so I've been an American soldier for 28 years, and it has been a phenomenal journey for me. So I'm a military police soldier by trade, but American soldier through and through. I got three wonderful kids. They're all grown and adult now, so I get to, be a part of their life as, three grown adults now. And I'll tell you what, their support over these 28 years has been really the reason I've been able to make this Army journey as good as it has been. And it's really full circle coming back to Army Training Center, Fort Jackson. I entered the Army through the MEPS station here at Fort Jackson about 4 o'clock in the morning. Went into MEPS at Fort Jackson here in Columbia on my way to Fort McClellan, Alabama for one station unit training. And I get an opportunity to circle all the way back around and be the post CSM for Army Training Center, Fort Jackson. And what an honor it has been being back home, because South Carolina is my home state. And that's an opportunity for me to be much closer to my family, my parents. So it's, it's quite an honor to be back. And it's also really important to my family that I'm back home. They get an opportunity to come see me more often than they have in the past. So again, just a great opportunity to be here.
You know, my wife's from Marion, South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Marion, all that. You know, that's a small community. Hey, Sergeant Major, I always say there's no second best when it comes to being prepared as a soldier. And I know how important that is, because I was a drill sergeant myself. When I was at, I was a drill sergeant twice, once at Fort Benning and once at Fort Jackson. So I guess my question to you is, what is the post doing to ensure that you have the best qualified drill sergeants on Fort Jackson?
Well, as we have the Drill Sergeant Academy right here on Fort Jackson. We're very lucky to have that institution right here. You know, we've got a great cohort of drill sergeant leaders, you know, led by our commandant, Command Sergeant Major Beidle, and the team at the Drill Sergeant Academy. Again, it really all begins in the selection process, SMA, and I know you know this. You know, in a time when it takes three non-commissioned officers to make one drill sergeant. So the vetting process to nominate a drill sergeant candidate is pretty extensive. You know, they go through a background check to ensure that they are physically, mentally, and spiritually and ready to take on this vital mission for the Army. And once they arrive here, it's 9 weeks, SMA, 9 weeks of intense training, really peeling the onion back and exposing them once again to what life is like for a trainee. That, I think that's the most valuable thing for those non-commissioned officers, is to kind of go back in time and experience what a trainee is feeling as they learn and hone their skills as non-commissioned officers to execute the mission of training our future Army.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you a couple of stories here real quick. And one is that I still remember my drill sergeant's name, Drill Sergeant Lewis. That was back in 66, probably before you guys were born, I don't know, but it was back in 66. And that's the impact that drill sergeant has on trainees. And it's really, I never met him again after basic training, but he had a tremendous impact on my life in the military. The other thing I'd tell you, you talked about the selection process. Well, I got to tell you, it's changed a lot when I was selected. Now, here's how I was selected. Not saying it's good or bad. I came out of Vietnam. I went to Fort Benning, and you had to go through the process in processing. And I sat down with this young man, and he says, first of all, let me ask you a question. I said, what's that? He says, you know the armor unit is full. I'm a tanker. I said, well, yes, sir. Yes, sir, whatever. I understand it's full. Okay. He said, can you sing? I said, what? He said, can you sing? And I said, well, no, I like singing, but I'm not a very good singer. He said, good, you're going to be a drill sergeant. And that's how I got to be a drill sergeant back. I mean, it's a crazy story, but being a drill sergeant for me was the best job I ever had. It taught me about leadership. It taught me how to motivate people. It taught me how to get the best out of people. And when I look back at my military career, the things that probably strengthened me more than anything else was being a drill sergeant and being able to lead men, and now it's men and women, but being able to lead men and especially getting ready for combat. So I really loved that time in my military. I loved all my military, but that time was very special to me. You both have been in the Army for a while, and I know one thing or two about discipline. How is it helps build stronger, more cohesive teams? How does that really help the Army? Would each one of you talk about building cohesive teams a little bit? And sir, we'll start with you.
Okay. So, Major, I really think building cohesive teams goes right at the five essential characteristics of the Army profession. You know, we talk about trust. You got to have military expertise, honorable service, esprit de corps, and stewardship of the profession. And so discipline is required in each of those essential characteristics. And team building, getting to know each other. I was just talking to a company commander, and he was sharing some of the challenge with his formation. And I asked him, I said, well, when's a good time to get every one of them together? You got to eat together. You can do leader reaction drills together. You can roll march together. It might be good to even look at spending a day or two as an FTX and look at team bonding and building because, you know, we rely on each other. When you're inside of a foxhole and your battle buddy, the person to your right or left, has to have your 12 and 6 o'clock. So that trust is really important, and we want to know about you. We want to know where you're from, where'd you grow up, what'd you do, so that we can hopefully find something that you're passionate about, because my experience is when someone's very passionate about something, they're committed. And being committed is different than compliant. You know, compliant gives you some left and right limits, and it's a different approach if people are only being compliant versus committed. So once we know that trust is the bedrock, we can build off of that. and training and competition. You know, it might be playing softball together. It might be, hey, who's going to compete and get the highest scores in a PT test? We just look for ways to have esprit de corps, and then it's something that you got to maintain over time. And so I would say those things initially are what jump out at me in the units that I've been in, whether it was a prop blast or a spur ride when I was with St. Cav Regiment. I mean, those are memories that last a lifetime. And when someone actually finds out that they might need you, if the sky is falling or there's a cloud in the sky and something's not going right, they're much more likely to sit down or call you on the phone and say, hey, I got a problem. I need some help. And then we can look at resiliency and minimize and mitigate risk because it was built on trust. I'll stop there and see what Command Sergeant Major Shaw wants to add.
Well, let me add on something real quick.
Go ahead.
I think you're exactly right about trust. I mean, the thing about trust, if your unit trusts you, if the people that you're working with trust you, they'll do anything for you. I mean, they got to believe in you. The other thing I really like, too, is I like that competition. I used to tell people, I can't run as fast as everybody else, but I'm going to run as fast as I can because I don't want to lose. I like that. Sergeant Major, I see your boss wanted to get you in there. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I wanted to get you in there, too. About you. Go ahead.
Absolutely, SMA. You know, and the CG really, really kind of zeroed in on it. It's, you know, how we treat others in our formation.
Yeah.
You know, senior leaders, you know, I don't know that you always realize the amount of eyes that are on you. You know, we talk about discipline as, you know, doing the right thing, holding yourself, to be accountable for your actions and responsibility for those actions. But it's really about a pattern of life, I think. You know, as we've grown in the Army, you know, our level of discipline has had to adjust because more people are seeing us and we want a role model the type of behavior that we expect from our team here, and doing that day in and day out and being present so that others can see us doing the right thing is important.
Hey, as well, I want to add something. Time
yeah.
is probably the other than the person, the people itself, time is a resource that you don't have enough of. So you're doing the right things based off of the time you have. And I say that because my battle buddy just touched on relationships. And when we're out and about, a soldier, a civilian, a leader, if they say, hey, sir, you got a minute, that's usually an indicator to me there's something they want to share. And so my team around me, they're like, sir, we got to be somewhere. We got a hard stop. Unless they outrank me. No offense, but I'm giving them that time because you don't know if that's the difference from being assessed as low or to moderate or whatever else. And those individuals say, hey, sir, you got a second. Or, hey, Sergeant Major, you got a second. I'm like, Sergeant Major, go ahead and talk to him. I'll catch up with you. Or if they say, hey, I want to see the CG. Hey, Sergeant Major, let me take a few moments. And so time, I think, is the other thing that's just as important.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is if you want to be a good leader, be a good communicator and a good listener, right? Yeah, because people are, I mean, they don't want you to come by, shake hands and leave. They want you to engage. They want you to talk to them, tell them what's going on. And I used to tell people, you got something to say, say it. Don't be afraid. I don't know if you, do you ever know General Zini? You probably don't know him. Anthony Zini.
I do, sir.
Yeah. Well, he was a 4-star I worked for when I was in CENTCOM. And I remember one time I was in Guitar, I guess it was. And then we got up and I said, hey, General got up and said, hey, you know, the 4-star got up and said, hey, you got to give him a little speech and stuff like that. And he says, all right, guys, you got any comments? Not one person in the audience. There's probably about 2,000 people in there. Nobody said anything. And so he finished, he waved goodbye, and he sort of walked off the stage and stuff. He walked up to me and said, hey, Sergeant Major, let's go. There's no issues here. I said, I tell you what, sir, why don't you take your vehicle, go ahead, and I'll catch up with you later. And so he left. And when he left, I asked the Sergeant Major there, I said, do you mind if I talk to him for just a second before you guys get out of here? And they said, no. So I got up and said, hey, look, the general just said a minute ago, that if you had any issues, let them know. If you don't tell me what your issues are, if you don't explain to me, how can I fix anything? If you're afraid to say anything, don't be afraid, because we want to make it a better Army for all of us. So if you've got anything to say, say it. If not, keep it to yourself. I think everything's okay. An hour later, I got out of there because they had so many damn problems. I finally told them to shut up. I got to go. I got to get out of here. But that, my point is, though, is you've got to find a way to get them to open up to you, to talk to you. And whether or not it's, hey, you know, tell me and we'll listen to you or whatever. But you got to be able to communicate, and you got to be able to listen to them when they got those issues. And I think that's really important, especially when you're a leader. They're looking for you. And the other thing I'll say, and I'll be quiet because we got to take a break here, but the other thing is, you live in a glass house. Everything you do and everything you don't do, they're going to know what you're, especially with social media today. So I love talking about stuff like that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the quality of life at Fort Jackson. I'm sure it's perfect. So please stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast. With me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you're enjoying the discussion, I know you are, because we're talking about training. We're talking about our young men and women that could go to war for us, that could defend our country, our way of life. It's important for us to know exactly how their lives are. It's important for you to understand the things that they go through each and every day. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with the Commanding General, Major General Darrell O. Hood, and the Command Sergeant Major, CSM William A. Schoff, from U.S. Army Training Center at Fort Jackson. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you have no plan on getting rid of, or property you have no plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We really appreciate your support. Sir, Fort Jackson is, I guess the question is, what is Fort Jackson doing to make it a destination of choice for our soldiers, civilians, and their families?
Hey, thanks for that question, FSMA. Fort Jackson is making sure that we understand what our people's needs are. And so if you're the drill sergeant and you're looking at child care, child development center, we look at accommodating hours to ensure that facility can be open so that drill sergeant can focus on his or her mission. If you are a civilian, maybe a family member, we want to make sure that the child youth service has activities in a safe and secure environment. And so regardless of whether you have the mission of training or you happen to be a family member or a person from outside our gates from the community, we open up our posts to accommodate. So we have various activities. We always have something going on. Independence Day, we had over 30-some thousand that came on Hinton Field, which is where we hold our graduations. And we had numerous entertainers. We had our soldiers that We're at the appropriate phase, blue phase for basic training, our AIT soldiers. We had first responders from the city of Columbia. We had Lexington. I mean, we had different people from all around the community, and it was a sight to see. So whether it's something like that, it could be cross country. We hold different events. We're partnered with the University of South Carolina, Benedict College, UNC, University of North Carolina Presbyterian. Right down the road, we have South Carolina State. So you can pick any category, whether that's academic, whether that's small business, private sector, DOD. I mean, this region has so many different things. And Command Sergeant Major Shaw and myself, we start with our leader orientation, and we explain that to them. And again, to make this a destination of choice, people have to know there's always something going on to your liking. In fact, I haven't run into one person yet since I've been in command over a year that says, I'm bored. I mean, let's face it. You go out gate two, you can throw a rock, and you can hit Super Walmart. You can hit restaurants right off Forest Drive. I mean, tell me any other Army military installation that's inside the city limits. I mean, I-77, Interstate 77, I-20 is right around the corner. I mean, it's I've seen nothing like it since I've been a commissioned officer December 1991. So really, a destination is about providing resources, accommodations, and then helping them achieve success, whatever their goals are. I'll stop there and see if you have a redirect, SMA.
No. I don't know about a redirect. But I was going to tell you, I still do every once in a while. I go up around Fort Jackson. I stay in those little cottages you got down there. Because they're nice. Me and my family stand here a couple of times. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to it?
Yeah, I'll add this, SMA. And this is, you know, I've been here a little over a month now. And really what has kind of stood out is the commitment to the mission from everyone on Team Jackson. You know, it's just not a headquarters commitment to the mission. It's every entity of the entire enterprise on this installation that is committed to making American soldiers, while also providing an amazing chapter in a soldier's Army career. You know, and we talk about it when we go have the newcomers brief, is that we truly want this place to be something your family looks back on and say, hey, that was an awesome opportunity that we didn't know was coming our way. And, you know, the CG, well, our community, and I know this is, you know, probably delving into some future questions, but man, our community here loves the soldiers on Fort Jackson and their family members, and they do a lot to support our community here. And one, I'm quite surprised at that connection between our community and Fort Jackson. It's pretty awesome to see.
Well, it's funny you say it, because that was my next question. I was going to ask, how does having a strong connection to the local community really improve the quality of life at Fort Jackson? I mean, it's got to improve the life. Go ahead.
Well, you know, again, Esme, I've been here a month, you know, but, you know, as being a resident of South Carolina, this being my home, I know the connection that the community has to Fort Jackson. It's been that way since 1917. You know, I will tell you that the things that they offer our family members is quite extraordinary. You know, I tell a lot of folks when I see when they come through is, you know, there's very few places that you can serve that the community reaches inside of the installation to support our soldiers and family members. And that's pretty unique to see. And CG made a big point. There is so much to do here. In the state of South Carolina, within 2.5 hours, you can be at the beach, you can be at the mountains. Pick your fun thing to do, and it can be done here at Fort Jackson.
Yeah, and SMA, I was just going to add, we're working with the City of Chamber, the Columbia City of Chamber, and I know they're trying to update their numbers. A percentage that we've used now probably for about the last 2 years. We provide about 34% of economic impact for the city of Columbia. So when you talk family days, I mean, the local restaurants, the hotels, I mean, pick any of that. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's a sight to see. I did brigade command time in TRADOC. I did battalion command time in FORSCOM. And I'll tell you, battalion command was out at JBLM and Tacoma and the surrounding area. I mean, it's just phenomenal to even go up to Seattle and surrounding and go down to Olympia and Lacey. And, you know, Leonardwood, a much more remote location, 2 hours outside of St. Louis, and about an hour and a half for Springfield. But there they had a committee of 50, which was really a collective effort of community leaders and members. And they poured out their heart, and they recognized the importance of Fort Leonardwood, just like JBLM, just like Bragg, just like Hood. Pick an installation, and I think our people understand what we provide, what we represent. I mean, freedom is not free without sacrifice. And they want us, they adore us. They know that they can trust us. It goes back to that first part in our conversation with you, and I believe you have to start with the community. They understand trust. They understand how to inspire, how to communicate, both internal to the community on Fort Jackson and then internal to the city of Columbia and then external to those that might be a little more remote. But I'll just tell you, I've seen nothing like it in my career. And I used to tell General Beagle when we were at brigade command around the same time, and he used to say, hey, you know, Fort Jackson is this, and I came here TDY a few times to help out with a few taskings, and I'm like, yeah, what's all the rah-rah about? But that 34% impact on economic, it is genuine, it's authentic, and they really do, whether you're engaging any small business, the governor, the mayor, I've never seen anything like it, and that's I'm a little probably biased now that I'm actually here, but it's real. I mean, there's nothing fake about it. And I'm privileged, along with Command Sergeant Major. This is definitely the best two-star job that the Army has. And I've been in many assignments in the building, out of the building, division, corps, you name it. But I'm really impressed. And that's not me blowing smoke just because you happen to have us here on camera. I mean, that's the real deal. So if it's been a while since you've been here, come on down. We'll take you out. We'll show you around. And you'll say, I see why you like it so much. It is indeed a hidden jewel.
Well, what I usually do is I slide into Fort Jackson, don't bother nobody, get in that little hooch, do what I got to do, and then leave the next day or something like that. No. So is, I didn't realize, you, Sergeant Major, you just mentioned, Jackson's been around since 1917. Is that true? Is that what you said?
That's
oh my
correct.
God, I didn't realize that. That's been around. So you guys are embedded in that community. That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
And just to add on to what the CG said, I sometimes this gets lost, but you know, as soldiers and families, we really have to steward that relationship with our community. We have to be, you know, we have to live true to our Army values as we go out. We can't take advantage of that great relationship we have with our community, because again, it's symbiotic in a way. But important that we, you know, uphold our Army values and treat our community with respect, you know, as they've done so much. It's not a take. It's a give and take, you know, relationship we have with our community. And we want to be givers more than we want to be takers from our community and build that relationship even deeper.
Yeah, when I was in the Army, I was at a couple of places. I won't mention their names, but if you went downtown, you'd go to jail. If you went down, I mean, so the relationship was so important. And so the Army, wherever they're at now, they built that relationship over a lot of years, and they got to keep building on it. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about why the relationship between Fort Jackson, we've already been talking about, and the community is so important. And so we'll probably hit on that again, or anything else you want to talk about. So stay right there. We'll be right back. Now here's a word for one more of the organizations that help make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with the Commanding General, Major General Darrell O. Hood, and the Command Sergeant Major, CSM William M. Schoaf, from U.S. Army Training Center at Fort Jackson. Remember, this is your show. We know that there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, I've said this many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can send me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sergeant Major, now I know we talked about this already, but this is up here. We may want to talk about something else. But what does the Fort Jackson bring to the community, and what does the community bring to Fort Jackson? And you've talked about that a little bit already. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, again, I think I'll add just a touch more when it comes to our families. You know, we understand what our service members are provided, but really it's about what the community provides our family members while they're here. Again, it's just really an open book for educational opportunities. The amount of programs that the Midlands offers, you know, our kids while they're here. Again, it is just a phenomenal amount of things that are, such good things for our family members. And again, I think it's the reason why so many folks either want to stay or want to come back as soon as they can once it's time for them to transition to some other place. It's just that the community offers so much to our family members.
Yeah, SMA, I was just going to add, I know we've talked about this, but I think the icing on the cake is it's a win-win. Yeah. It's a win. It's a win for Fort Jackson. It's a win for the community. And, we have elected officials in the Senate and the House. They come here. They see our facilities. They understand our mission set. They know how to advocate for the different and various committees that they're on. But quite honestly, it's the win for us, but the win for them is they get to see us firsthand of what the Army is, what the Army is about. So when you're talking recruiting, when you're talking, what is it that I'm going to do when I graduate out of high school? And we partner with our National Guard for our Youth Challenge program that they have for some of the more at-risk adolescents that are out there. And we have vocational schools. We partner with the academia that's here, Midlands Tech, President Little. We talk about programs and opportunities, whether that's with Moncrief Army Health Clinic. We look at Sheriff Lott, who is the sheriff over Richland County that is embedded with our DES, Director of Emergency Services. Our fire departments train, law enforcement train. We have volunteers from our drill sergeants, our cadre, our spouses, that interact with their public school systems. And that's at the elementary all the way up to high school. They have high school football and sports. And when those that have time available, they serve as a coach and a mentor, a big brother and sister, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. I mean, again, pick a topic. And think about this. We provide probably close, I'd say anywhere from 57 to maybe 60%. Because when we execute basic combat training here at Fort Jackson, we do it at the battalion level. So during summer surge, we have up to 1,300 trainees that are in formation. You know, as a former brigade commander, I had where we field by company. And that's amazing to see in the stands almost 5,000 family members and friends watching their son or daughter, their soldier now, and that provides, as I said, the economic impact piece. So it is a win-win, no matter how you look at it, for Fort Jackson and the greater community.
Yeah. I would also think that, it's interesting, 1917, you've been around there a long time. I would probably think that a lot of the leadership in the local community are retirees.
Absolutely.
Because I know there's some mayors out there, the retired Sergeant Major at Breckenridge. You know him, I think, Sergeant Major. He's a mayor out by Fort Leonardwood out there somewhere now.
He is.
And so in a lot of key positions, there's a lot of – go ahead, sir. Are you going to add to that?
I was just going to say we have one former Command Sergeant Major And we have a former two-star that make up the South Carolina Department of Veteran Affairs. So that's an example. We have several that are troops to teachers in the school system, the communities, the churches. We have retired, and I'll just say retirees. We're probably somewhere between 46 and 50,000 retirees that are in this area. In fact, we have lines of effort. I mean, we've kind of talked about them already. Train and develop leaders, strengthen the profession, ensure quality of life, and engage the community. Those are our four lines of effort. We have the Sergeant Major Retiree Council. We have so many different activities. And I know you referenced me as a commanding general, which I am, but I'm also the senior commander. So I'm spending time looking across the installation with MCOM and the Garrison Command, as well as those activities and engagements outside the community. And that's why I'm so excited each time you're like, hey, tell me more. I mean, I could keep going into the next show. It is. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And I'm a graduate from the proud University of Georgia. Go Dogs. And the way they recognize during their veterans at the stadium at South Carolina, I have to go back and tell University of Georgia, you all got to step up your game. I was blown away last year when I saw that, and I had to let some alumni know, hey, y'all got to pick it up.
Hey, Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to what your boss just said? Go ahead.
Yeah. We get a little bit emotional when we talk about our University of Georgia here being in the state of South Carolina. But what I'll add, you know, and the CG mentioned, you know, some of this, but, you know, our community leaders and our business leaders, you know, we have quite a few that are also part of the total Army, the Army Reserve and National Guard. So, again, you know, we're connecting, you know, our community with our total Army, not just our active Army, which is pretty awesome when you come here, because it is a total Army mission set here.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, I love talking to leaders like you guys right here, because I can feel your passion. I can feel your motivation. I can feel you're so pumped up about what you're doing, and you're making a difference in our big Army, in our communities. So I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. You're doing such a great job. I know that you are. Hey, sir, where do you envision the relationship between Fort Jackson and the Midlands in, you know, the next 10 years?
So you take everything that we've been talking about, SMA, if I could bottle it up and then pop the top. I think the big thing is understanding that we are change agents, and we have all volunteer force. And so as things change domestically, locally, across the state, the real question, it goes back to the acronym RED, readiness, excellence, and destination of choice. So how we're successful today, the question is what is our desired outcome in 10 years? So we have invested interests, Fort Jackson, and as well as the community. So when we talk about future plans, the five-year plan for Director Public Works, or if we're looking at the facilities investment plan, and we're looking at total Army analysis and structure changes, we just want to make sure that we can communicate and talk about our mission, the importance. Last year, we had a recruiting goal. We did our part to help recruiting command as we integrated them. Think of reception, staging, onward movement, and integration for basic training, the IET, IMT environment. So really 10 years from now, I'm retired somewhere, and I'm looking at, hey, you go. I'm a cheerleader. I'm a big brother. I'm out here as one of these retirees that's looking back and sharing stories and seeing the growth continue. I don't see things slowing down at all, to be quite frank. I mean, there's renovations that need to take place. I got it. I understand that. But if we want to have the best Army, then we've got to invest in people. That's now, that's 10 years from now, to stay after readiness, to strive for excellence, and to make it a destination of choice.
Yeah. One of the things I think is really important, I've been trying to do this since I've been trying, there's a lot of retirees out doing the same thing, is you got to tell your story. You know, we think that the Army is bigger than life itself, but the fact the Army is real small. And a lot of people don't know anything about the military, other than what you know, see in a movie or reading a book or listen to, you know, the news or something like that. So we need to continue to tell our story as much as we can to educate this country about the kind of sacrifices that goes on in our military. Well, first of all, let me say this is a bit, Sergeant Major, sir, this has been a great discussion, and I almost hate to stop it. I think I'd probably go for a couple more hours here, so I'm just talking to you guys right now. But since it's the end, any final thoughts, maybe something you want to reemphasize to the audience that maybe you don't want to talk about or something different, but any final thoughts that you have when we close out here today?
I'll offer this, SMA. One, I want to say thank you for this opportunity to tell our Army story and the story of Army Training Center Fort Jackson. Truly believe that Fort Jackson is we are a vital fabric to our Midlands community, and we need each other. And I think, the CG and I get an opportunity every week, almost at, somewhere between 41 and 45 weeks out of the year, we have anywhere between 2,500 to 3,500 families that visit Fort Jackson. That is a story that gets told all over our country. Those families travel from every corner of our country to come watch their son or daughter graduate. And when they experience what we see every day with our commitment to our community and our community's commitment to us, they take that back home. And they tell that story to other people. And next thing you know, we continue to have, an opportunity to exceed our recruiting goals year after year just based off of the story that we tell, and they tell our Army story as well. That's all I have, SMA. I do appreciate it. It's been an honor.
Oh, yeah, I echo. Yeah, great opportunity. I know we wanted to try to get with you sooner, and the schedule just kept moving on us. But I appreciate your patience, your perseverance. And as you said, tell the story. You are a very viable, and you're important to this process. And so I'm grateful that you found this particular area of giving back, and you're passionate about it. You're helping to tell stories as you spend time with others that wear this uniform and the fabric for our nation. So again, just like my battle buddy said, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And I'll leave you. General Perkins was the CG of TRADOC when I was a brigade commander. And what I admired is, he said a mission is what you do. It has a clear task and purpose. And so we know here at Fort Jackson, it's about us having the ability to train, to educate, to inspire, to develop soldiers. Because at the end of the day, we're making American soldiers. So that's kind of like the bumper sticker. Make American soldiers. You come on Fort Jackson and you'll see the placards, the signs, and everyone feels that energy. It's like a wave. You ride it. I mean, there is no getting off. But then the vision, a vision is what you stand for. It's always the objective. It's on the horizon. You never actually get there because you're always striving to achieve it. And I think, whether I'm talking 10 years from now or at least during my tenure of serving, I've really enjoyed the people that have embrace me inside the wire, on the installation, outside, because military, civilian, contractor, doesn't matter who you are. We believe that we all are extraordinary professionals. You wear the uniform, you are an exemplary warfighter. I just need you to do four tasks. Lead, care for people, train and maintain resources, and we stay nested with every leader that we are aligned with at all times. And so keep it simple, keep it real, and let the authenticity come out, and then everything else has a way of working out. So SMA, thanks again, really appreciate it. Wish you continued blessings and success with the podcast and all the others that you've reached out and led, because it's people like you that allowed us to be the leaders that we are today. So we're indebted to you. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. Geez, I hate to quit now. We ought to keep talking. Well, hey, look, we ought to do another show sometime and talk more about initial training and the things you're doing on the installation, because I think there's a lot of stuff, again, that our country doesn't know about, the kind of things that go on like in places like Fort Jackson. So if you guys are up there, maybe in another year or so, we'll come back on the show and talk about basic training there. AIT and the things that you have on that installation. But I appreciate you coming on the show, and please follow us, listen to us, because we want to make a difference in the lives of our veteran community, because we're all, you said it probably better than I could, we're all part of a family, and we need to make sure that we continue to take care of each other. So thanks again for coming on the show.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks, SMA.
Hooah. Thanks again to Major General Daryl O. Hood and CSM William M. Schell for being with us. I'm Jack Attili, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board partnership with the Recruit Military in Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with a job just at the right time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly at yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Major General Hood and CSM Schell for joining us today. And I would just tell you today, when you're thinking about Fort Jackson, when you're thinking about the, I don't know, the sacrifices that our military makes for this country, when you're thinking about the drill sergeants and the lives that they change. You know, I didn't talk much about my time as being a drill sergeant. I didn't talk much about my time as being a drill sergeant and training trainees to go and fight our nation's wars. You know, this is not a joke. This is real time for all of us. This is something that our country needs. It's about training. It's about life. I always tell people it's about God. I love our country. And I love what our military does each and every day. And I'm so proud to say that I served. But guess what? I'm going to continue to serve until the day I'm done. I'm going to continue to change the things that I can change to make our military better, to make our lives better for our military. So again, thanks for watching. And thanks to New Mind Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.